We're continuing on. We're in part four of our series on Ephesians that we're calling Meet the Real You. And today we're talking about how you are so incredibly gifted. And the Bible talks about these incredible gifts that God gives to the church and the individuals that make up the church, because the church is like this incredible organism that works together. And it's like a great team. And there's one thing I just love learning about, and never get tired of learning more and more about in life, is how a great team can and should work. And I came across this amazing article this week, which was this an amazing lesson from nature, from wildlife, and it's a fun lesson from geese of all things, and how the way they travel, and for thousands of miles, and the percentage of how many of them make it the full distance and back is just bewilders. You know, the scientists that study that part of wildlife, and they found like these four factors that, because of how they work together, how they're able to travel these long distances and do it so well and successfully. And the first part of it is how they rotate their leadership and their responsibilities and flying in that V formation. There's always a person, a bird on the point. And when one lead goose gets tired, it changes places with one in the wing of the V formation and another flies point. Yeah, it just makes me think of, when Steph needs a break, who comes in at point guard, right? Is good old Sean Livingston, you know, and he's been saving the day here recently. And so they're not just relying on one person to carry the load and lead the direction of the whole group. They take turns in sharing the responsibility. Now, this is a really interesting, those of you that are physics majors, you'll get a kick out of this, any of you engineers. By flying as they do, the members of the flock create an upward air current for one another, because of this special V formation that they fly in. Each flap of the wings literally creates an uplift for the bird immediately following. Studies have shown that by flying in a V formation, the whole flock gets 71% greater flying range than if each goose flew on its own. Literally, the wind beneath each other's wings. You know, and so what a cool illustration to know that staying close to each other and staying aligned like that is making your life so much easier and better. And the conditions around you you're being carried by each other's work, and just that synergy that is created by coming together as a group. And so I love this next one. When one goose gets sick or wounded, two fall out of formation with it and follow it down to help and protect it. And they've watched this. You know, when one needs to go down, they just, you know, they don't just keep going. It's not just one, it's a couple of them. Dive down and sort of surround it. You know, and I was watching Forrest Gump was on TV recently, and I just love that scene where he just has to go back and carry each one of his platoon buddies out of danger, you know, and to safety. And he just spends the whole, you know, the whole day doing that one by one, trekking that whole distance and back. And that's just that commitment to protecting each other, no matter what the risk is for yourself. And so just that, another incredible illustration from the way geese come together. And it's not just about one individual, but about the whole group. Now, this one's just kind of funny. Okay, so the geese in the rear of the formation have a special job. They're the ones who do the honking. And it's not to, like, you know, speed up. You're not going, you know, like how we honk. You know, it's like, hey, get with the program. It's their way of announcing that they're following and all is well. All is good. So, because there's no rear view mirror, you know, for the guys in front. And so this way the lead birds know that, okay, everybody's doing good. We can hear them. Hey, doing great. Everybody keep it up, you know, and it's their way of encouraging those in front to stay with it. Stay with the program. We're all good back here. And so, but how cool, you know, and so did anybody pick being a goose? No, I mean, we don't really, not a whole lot of it, but now maybe you might, you know. I mean, what a team, what a family that you would be a part of, and just the safety, the health, the goodness of the world of geese. It just, to me, it's just super inspiring. And so I kind of want you to soak that up as we dive into this next passage in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus called Ephesians. And last week we left off in the early part of chapter 4, and we're going to press on through the middle today. And we left off with this thought last week when we talked about unity and how we're all connected and united together as individuals in one body, in the body of Christ, in the family of God. For there is one body and one spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, amidst that unity and that oneness and that connectedness, however, He has given each one of us something very unique, something very special, a special gift through the generosity of Christ. And as far as I can tell, and I've done a little bit of reading, a pretty good amount of research, you know, looking around at different faiths, and I love reading about different faiths and different approaches to God and knowing God and growing spiritually. And I can't find anything that is similar to how the New Testament, specifically the Apostle Paul, expresses this sentiment of individuality within unity that he does through several of his letters, and how he identifies these graces, these charismas, literally from the Greek, these gifts of God's Spirit that are so unique that he spreads out through the individuals of the body. And in Ephesians, he describes it like this. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. And he names a few of these gifts in other letters. And we're going to kind of look at a whole grouping of them here in a little bit. But in Ephesus, he names off these, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. These are gifts to the church. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Let's just kind of hang out there for just a second. And so many of these are what we traditionally kind of look at as kind of leadership positions in ministry. But something that's very key here that we tend to miss, that the Bible is very plain about, is who's doing the work of the church. So many times we leave it to those so-called leaders, you know, the priests, the pastors, the elders, you know, the upfront people. But what it's saying here is that the work of the church belongs and is the ultimate responsibility of God's people. And this group of ministers, their job is to equip all those people, to help them, to position them, to position you, to actually do the work of God. It's not by the equippers, that's part of it, but that responsibility lays on the shoulders of everybody. It's not just one person. It's not just a small group. It's the whole group comes together and does the work of God. Let's keep reading. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every word of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And so it's a very unique thing in Christianity how the church is described. And it's the Bible uses a couple really picturesque terms. You know, one is the Greek is oikos, for house. Together we are his house, built on a foundation of apostles and prophets who, you know, apostle simply means one who was sent out. And a prophet, you know, sometimes we see that word and we kind of think fortune teller. And a prophet isn't so much about predicting the future, but in about communicating God's mind and God's will to the people. And so these servants of God bring and build that foundation to the people. But the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself, but we are carefully joined together in him. And just like these guys yesterday were putting that fence together, you know, and just, you know, building this, you know, this great little structure that was so well measured and thought out and tied together, just like a great house is put together on a strong foundation. That's one way to describe the church. Another way Paul describes the church is soma, a body, a living organism. Just as the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. And so we're not just a, you know, we're not just a group of people. We're not just a, you know, some sort of institution or, you know, or any of those, you know, kind of worldly ideas that forms a group. The church is connected. It's a living and breathing organism that just has all these different facets of how it works and attributes and strengths that just make it this incredible mechanism for God's work in the world. I love how you guys have seen me quote Pastor Rick Warren before. He's the pastor of Saddleback Church down in Southern California, and just a great author, and has written a lot on the different gifts and how the church is supposed to use those. And I love the way he puts it here. God has given you unique abilities, talents, and gifts, this bundle of gifts. So just think of your personality right now, the things you're good at, the things that you're comfortable with, the things that you are confident and competent in. This bundle of gifts is the thing God has given you that makes you who you are and sets you apart from other people. Any other blues harmonica players in the crowd?
I think so.
So, I mean, that's just, I mean, yeah, it's a thing, what are those things that, I mean, we can spend some time, we'll spend a little bit of time here later. You're wondering what those index cards are doing on your chairs, but everybody here has something unique about you, something, you know, quirky, something that makes you unique that you can offer to the world that the person sitting next to you just can't.
But they can offer something that you can't, and that's what makes it so fun and diverse. But if you think your gifts and talents are simply for you to make a lot of money, retire, and die, you've missed the whole point of your life. God gave you gifts to benefit others, not yourself. The whole reason you have those unique facets about your personality and those abilities and talents, this bundle of who you are, isn't for yourself. The reason you have those, you've been gifted to benefit others in your life, and God gave other people talents that benefit you. We're all a part of the body of Christ, and each part matters.
There's no insignificant people in the family of God. We need everybody figuring out their gifting and putting it to use to be who we're made to be, to live out this work of God that He has planned and positioned us to walk into so that we can make a difference in the world and fulfill our purpose here in this life. So here's a chart. Now, this isn't an exhaustive list of all the, it's as many as I could fit on the screen. And the way the Bible talks about gifts, I mean, Paul is, here. You know, this is why you wish you had more of his letters. Because you just get a feeling that he wrote to Ephesus many more times on this subject. And this little passage is just kind of reminding them on some of those gifts. Because in Corinthians, he lays out a whole bunch more. Peter lays out a few. The Old Testament talks about talents and gifts that God gives people in order to do specific works. It's all through the Bible. And there's no one pocket that kind of has this exhaustive list of what those might be. But these are, let's talk about these today. And so, because what I want to do, kind of want you to soak up these. I'm going to talk through most of these a little bit right now. But I want to ask you this question. Have you discovered your gifts? Because everybody's got something. And it's most likely plural. It's most likely more than one. And so I want you to think about, maybe it's hospitality, mercy. Maybe it's teaching. I've never tried, but you know what? I'm kind of interested in that. How do I find out? So with that in mind, throwing that list back up there, I want you to spend some time. Maybe, you know, grab your card and jot them down. Maybe you already know. Maybe you need to think about it a little bit. Administration is a gift from the Holy Spirit. Because some people just love numbers and emails and organizing and putting events together and doing all the background work, you know, from the phone calls to the paperwork to all that kind of stuff that to many of us just seems like drudgery. How could that be a gift? That is a very important gift that God in His wisdom knew the church would need. We rely on that every week, needing good, solid administration in our body. You might think, well, I do that every day, and it comes easy. I didn't know that's something I could do for the church that is something that would relate to God's work in the world. It's a huge part. Being an apostle, being sent out to bring God's love and word and heart to a new place is all that means. I mean, an apostle was kind of a special title in some regards in the early church, but simply it means a messenger of God. You know, and maybe you feel called to not stay rooted in one place, but to hop around to different places. And, you know, like a missionary would fall under that category of being apostolic, of bringing God's message to new places. Craftsmen. In the Old Testament, God let Moses know, hey, I've gifted these specific individuals with the ability to be great craftsmen. So get them involved in building this tabernacle that I'm giving you the plans for. Exhortation is this incredible, and all it simply means is it's encouragement. It's getting something out of someone that maybe they didn't think they had in them. It's like what a great coach is. A better word for exhortation is kind of a Bible word, is coach. Are you able to see where somebody's at and kind of envision where they could be? And help them to get there, to exhort them to that next place. Faith. We're all have a basic faith and trust in God, but some of us need those individuals in the body that just have this rock of faith that no matter what seems to be falling apart around us, they hold steady. And they're the ones that say, hey, we can take this hill. Just keep your eyes focused on Christ, where we might be doubting. They're the ones that never, ever
doubt.
Giving. Again, we're all called to give and participate in the work of God through our finances. However, there are some that even though they might keep climbing the ladder and getting those raises and moving up financially, yet they stay at that same cost of living because they feel called and just love to give more with those new opportunities to be able to give. They don't see it as an opportunity to get more, but to give more. Healing, that miraculous gift from God to bring healing through prayer or touch. Hospitality. Do you feel comfortable? Are you one of those people that's always opening up your home? That's always feeding others, always taking in others and caring for others. That's a gift. That's a gift for the church. And we need all of these gifts. Leadership. Remember hearing Bill Hybels, who's a kind of an expert on leadership in the church, a pastor in Chicago area, talking about his church, Willow Creek, it's 15, 20,000 people. And so he's got a good basis to draw this from. And he says, the leadership gift is by far the least common gift. And he goes, but I guess it makes sense because that way there's, not too many chiefs, trying to kind of battle and fight for, with their visions and all that. But so that's always one of the toughest ones. And we've got leaders in our church, but so often it's tough to find. But we need those leaders, whoever they are, to step up and help with collaborating on the vision that God is calling us to in our church. Music. Are you gifted in music? Are you someone that has a comfort level with an instrument? God's given you a voice to sing and help those of us who need leadership in that area to be able to guide us in worship. And so another very important gift to the church. Miracles. I mean, that's just, the Bible takes very seriously and is very open on God's active, miraculous work in the world. And we spent a whole series at Christmas time talking about miracles and God's power in this world. It wasn't something that just happened, back then. But many people are often shy to talk about how God has used them in miraculous ways because of, they might be looked at weird or strange. But that's a spiritual gift. And if God used you in that way, that's something the body needs. And we need to, to cherish and to be blessed by. Prayer, it's like those on our prayer team. Many of us, have a prayer life, but we're not necessarily staying up late or being woken up late in the middle of the night knowing that we need to pray for a certain individual. Or sometimes we don't know you might not know who that person is. You just know you need to intercede for another person in prayer. If that's something you've experienced, you most likely have that special gift of prayer. Teaching. If you love learning, that may be a hint that you have that teaching gift, because that's a big part of it, is to be able to have this drive to learn new things and a desire to share what you've learned with others, because you've been blessed with what God's taught you. And you want others to experience it. And all you can think about is like different ways to kind of bring that across, and you might read a book or see a movie or see something happen in your everyday life. And it's like, okay, that's a great metaphor to make it easier to build that bridge between God's word and communicating that to people in a fun, interesting way. Spiritual discernment. And that's a term that the Bible uses about kind of knowing what a person's being able to recognize false motives or
or being able to understand, you know, where is God leading us, you know, as a group or as a church, and just being able to have that, what the world might call a gut feel about things that comes from God's Spirit that discerns making good decisions versus bad, unhealthy decisions. I got miracles in there twice. Whoops. Evangelism. And so, you know, that's, you know, that you find yourself being at ease, having conversations with people that are far off from God, or maybe not part of a faith community, and inviting them into a relationship with God or a relationship at church and being part of things. And everywhere you go, you just love inviting people and bringing them in, and you find it easy to talk about God and relate God's work in your life to other people's lives. And whereas as many people might think, you know, I cherish my faith, I don't know how I could talk about it with other people. It just seems too uncomfortable, too much for me to do. Those with the gift of evangelism find that easy, you know, that, and they're drawn to it all the time. Prophecy, again, doesn't mean predicting the future. It means understanding God's will for an individual or a group in the moment and being able to communicate that in a way where God has spoken to you to speak to others and into their lives. And wisdom. And how much do we need that gift of wisdom? And I know I rely on it with several of you that have that gift, and I'm always, you know, asking for advice. You know, what do you think on this? You know, have you ever experienced this? What would you tell me or this person that's facing this challenge? You've got that track record with God, and He's gifted you with various experiences and insights that are going to benefit others. And so there's several more, and we could, you know, go over more and more. Really, it's in some ways an unending list, but these are, I would say, the ones that most often carry the life of the church. We could talk about, we could go on and on, but I want to ask you to, what took miracles place was, you know, the Bible talks about tongues and speaking in tongues and having the gift of being able to speak another language. Sometimes it's a known human language. Sometimes it's a spiritual language that only the speaker and God can understand. And another gift that goes along with tongues is being able to interpret that language that is unknown to the rest of the group. And it's this powerful experience that God uses to be able to communicate to the church in a special way. So, what are your gifts? Here's what I want you to do is pass them to the middle. Now, if you wrote your name on, I meant to say, you go ahead and keep them anonymous. I thought it would just be fun to see how many of us in this group here today that we might cover. Does that sound like fun? Did I trick you into writing them without mentioning that before? So, if you're still jotting those down. But I hope, okay, so now here's the other thing. If you need help discovering your gifts. Hey, Rick, thanks for the 30-second snapshot on each one. I'm totally confused now. You know, a big part of my gifting as a pastor is that role of equipping you. And a big part of equipping is helping you discover those gifts. And there's nothing more that I enjoy doing than sitting down one-on-one and learning more about your life and the way you're wired and the way God has gifted you, and helping you discover those gifts, and then helping you bridge between knowing what your gift is and putting that gift to work and using your gifts. And that's kind of the ultimate question today, is once you discover your gifts, are you using them? And so,
all right, so.
see.
Let's go back to our little chart here. Okay, you guys are just going to have to keep. Okay, so prayer, faith, giving, hospitality, administration, wisdom. I'll try to remember. Some of these are repeats between cards. Okay, but you guys got, are you guys mentally checking them off here? And so, okay. So administration, hospitality, exhortation, healing. Cool. Hospitality, teaching, wisdom. We're getting close. Not even halfway through these cards. This is what is really, this excites me. Leadership, teaching, discernment, hospitality. Administration, helps. Helping. Did I miss that somehow? I mean, that is the key. Did I? I didn't talk about helping. And so, that is the word the New Testament uses as, in, you know, as a spiritual gift. This is one of the most important aspects of the family of God. Those, and you guys know who you are, and we have several in our church who nobody asked you, but you showed up early. You stayed late. You just have that gift. Everyone else is kind of barely, you know, straggling in, you know, minutes after, you know, I got to go, I forgot I got to be at this thing. And it's like, you just are always there. I mean, it's a wonderful gift that we rely on. Because, and the last thing you want is to be, and I got to be careful even making eye contact because you hate recognition. You love being in the background and just doing any little thing you can to help out. It's your heart. It's your comfort level. And it is one of, it's just like all these, just a treasure of a gift. Craftsman, faith, hospitality, discernment, wisdom. Craftsman, music, wisdom. Administration, hospitality, giving, faith, helping, music. Okay, music. I need to like kind of, you know, put these over here. We can add to our music team here. So kind of going to highlight those. Come talk to me later. Okay. Teaching, music, healing, helping, language. Awesome. Pastoring, teaching, faith, prayer, healing, prophecy. Have we covered them? Is there one we've missed here? And so helping, healing, hospitality, faith, giving. Prophecy, faith, craftsmanship, spiritual discernment, evangelism, there we go. Pastoring, wisdom, exhortation, leadership, music, leadership, discernment, teaching, wisdom, helping, giving, and leadership. So how cool is that? What did we miss?
Apostle.
And so, what's that? They were sent, well, you know, what's that? And so, well, you know, I mean, well, you know, those of us that were part of founding Neighborhood Church, you could say we were, you know, sent by God. I mean, in a very accurate way to get a new ministry off the ground and going. And so we'd all fall into that category, wouldn't we? So, but how cool is that? I mean, this is not even half our church here.
So just to see that this is the magic, for lack of a better word, of God's way of putting a great team together. And just in this group of about 30 or so people, we've got all these gifts covered. How awesome is that? And that's just God's style. He loves spreading out the talent and building an amazing team. Now the question is, what are we doing with these gifts? We know we've got them. How can we put them to good use? And so that's the work that lays ahead. How can we come together and further God's work in this world? This is our, I love this verse. It's our team verse for the Mexico mission trip. It comes out of 1 Peter 4. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Plain and simple.
But you know what you have. How are you using those? It might bleed into your career, but that's an illusion, that that's why you have those gifts. The reason you have those talents and gifts and abilities is to be something even bigger. Something bigger than your single life, but that is going to impact and be part of a whole body, that group that God is calling and moving in a way that is going to do incredible work in this world. And so, if you're feeling like you're not yet engaged in God's work using those gifts, me and you got a long cup of coffee in our near future. Okay? Promise? Okay. And so let's get together and talk about that. Because until you've felt that feeling of being in the pocket, of being used according to your gifting, you haven't yet experienced the fullness of God's purpose for your life. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this church family, and get caught up here just remembering those very early days before we started with that handful of apostles, of servants, of helpers and leaders, Lord. And I just thank you for what you've put together, this beautiful mosaic of your church, of all these individuals coming together to create a synergy that's way bigger than anything we could offer on our own. And so, Lord, use us. Bring us closer together and help us to see how we can, how we're connected to each other and how our giftedness can support each other, can reach out to our community, can impact people and places around this world. And so, thank you, for Heavenly Father, for the way you have designed everyone here and gifted every person here. Pray in your name.